locked in. Definitely the most people, right?
Yes, I think so.
The most people.
You want me to count? 15.
14 guests and the host.
Yeah,
right. So you don't correct me again.
Whack.
I'm already on Kim. I'm already riding Kim.
You're already.
It didn't take long. It is August 13, 2017, what I'm going to call the fastest summer to fly by, it seems like. Oh, we're already talking about back to school.
I agree.
Is everybody in the same camp? Do you feel like it's the fastest summer that ever?
Yes.
It is crazy. I don't know what it is, because it's not like we've had beautiful weekends. No. We always have beautiful weekends, but like in the grand scheme of last couple of years, we had like straight summers with like no rain. Everything was just crazy. This seems like every weekend we have a forecast of cloudy, rainy days.
It is cooler. It is a little cooler, but I think it's perfect.
I'll take it. No, I'll take it. It's been good working weather. Nice and dry.
And last summer we had a drought, so, it's very, very dry.
Well, if it's good for the butterflies,
then everything is just,
it's all about the butterflies. We're going to go around the room. Everybody's going to introduce themselves. Go ahead.
Hey, Chris Anderson.
From the Lit House. You can say your affiliation.
Lit House, that's my affiliation. I live right up the hill for a week or two more.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, but you're moving. You're still in the Shire.
Yeah.
You're still in God's country.
Oh, yeah.
You're just relocating within God's country.
A couple blocks over, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
Pilar Davis.
Mandy Davis from Plastic Pick It Up.
Frida
doesn't need a last name. She's like Madonna, Cher.
Yeah.
She just goes Frida. Boom.
The artist.
Yes.
Eric Majors, Seaside Sustainability and Gloucester Clean City Commission.
I'm Sarah Stewart, and I'm from One Ocean, One Love Shop, but also part of Cape Ann Maritime Partnership and the Clean Harbor Initiative.
Jamie Matheson, also One Ocean, One Love and Clean Harbor Initiative.
And I'm Kathy Day from the Gloucester Overdose Vigil.
Charlene Delaney from the Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce.
Alexis Sanderson from Plastic Pick It Up.
Meadow. Yeah, very good. Honey.
Beautiful Meadow Anderson here.
Yeah.
Terry Weber, Beaufort Hospitality Group.
And my co-host.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Kim, always. She's like a rock here. She's like a rock. I like to rib her, but she knows how much she means to the podcast and to me as a friend. Terry Weber, I want to thank you for bringing me a Dunkin' Donuts bagel this morning without the butter.
You're very welcome.
Because they say that they use butter, but has anybody had a bagel from Dunkin' Donuts? That is not, I don't know where they get off calling that butter, because it is not butter. Am I wrong?
It's not even a bagel, really.
It's really not even a bagel. It's true.
Well, did you know that they're being sued because they're, blueberries aren't really blueberries either.
Right.
They're fake blueberries.
What? How do you make a? How is that even possible?
Wow.
How cheap could blueberries be? Like frozen blueberries, they come in such abundance, and they can't even put a real blueberry in there.
That's disgusting.
Well, but I am still appreciative.
I'm happy to bring you your fake bagel.
Yes, it was the thought. It was definitely the thought. Yeah. So, what is your thought process when you go between? You could go to Cape Ann Coffees, or you could go to Long Gull, but you purposely pick.
He's teasing you now.
No.
I just picked the easiest place to go at the moment.
Are you a Dunkin' Donuts person?
For iced coffee.
Yeah, you
not
like
really
good
for anything else.
Some people are. Not me.
I prefer Starbucks, actually. But
Cape Ann Coffees has amazing iced Americano. I love that. That is so
You know fun. Something? Lone Gull does. All our coffee shops are great. It's another one of those coffee shop breakfast places.
Embarrassment
that
of
we are
embarrassment of riches.
It is. We talk about it probably every week. Again, thank you, Terry. A big focus of this podcast, that we have several focuses. A big one being the Pick It Up, the Clean Harbor Initiative, and the kids, which was probably the story of the week on Good Morning Gloucester last week. The donation by these kids to Jamie, can you speak to the whole? Give us an overview of what your group is and how awesome what these kids did.
Sure. So we're Cape Ann Maritime Partnership. We're made up of a bunch of like-minded individuals and some groups as well. We consist of ourselves, One Ocean, One Love Shop, so my sister and myself, Seaside Sustainability, so Eric over here, the U.S. Coast Guard, Gloucester Clean City Commission, Maritime Gloucester, and then also NOAA. So we all came together with the same goal, just to clean up our harbors. Many of you guys might have seen some viral videos on the internet of different marine skimmers and different ways of cleaning up the harbor. I know Baltimore has a really cool
It's like an escalator,
around.
Right?
Yeah, it has like eyes and they anthropomorphize and everything. It's pretty fun. It got a lot of press. But there's a couple different devices, so we figured this could be something that could be a really good fit for Gloucester. So it was something we were really passionate about. There's a few different types that we're working on collecting funds for. One is called the C-Bin. A lot of you guys have probably seen it on Facebook. It's a little bit bigger than a 5-gallon bucket. Made by a couple of Australian folks, and it sits just below the surface of the water. It does have a water pump, so it essentially works like a pool skimmer, and it just skims trash off the surface of the water. Mm-hmm. It also cleans out oil and other pollutants using an oil pad, and returns clean water. You just pull the basket out, and then you have clean it out daily, just like you would in your pool, with any leaves and other debris that comes in. There's a much larger version of
that. No, wait a second. You talk about there's one of these 5-gallon bucket type of things. Is it five? Is it that large?
Well,
and is that going to make any impact, significant impact?
So the idea is you put them in marinas. So it's small.
So there's more than one, though.
There's more than one. Right now they're still in their pilot program. So they have them in, do you know how many countries, anybody? They have them in several countries. There's one in California right now. They're still in their pilot program phase. So they're testing them out, getting some information about what works, what doesn't work, and they're hoping to launch and actually be able to sell them sometime in the next few months. They were aiming for October.
I have a question. So one thing that I was having a hard time understanding, but then I think I figured it out from the website, is they're stationary, right? They position them where they figure out where the flow of the trash moves in the harbor, and they station it at a very specific place.
Well, Jamie would know this. Right. It's a certain type of winds right where she happens to live. You know, there could be you could look down on certain type of winds when it's blowing out of the harbor, and you could look and see clearly down to the bottom. If the wind is blowing into the harbor, it pushes everything up to where we happen to be, way up into the coves.
Right.
And you know, wherever the cove is for that particular wind that day, that's where you're gonna see styrofoam cups and plastic bags and everything.
You could have one here, you know.
Well, the most is right down inside of where, right in front of probably what do they call it now? It used to be the playground, Cripple Cove playground. Yeah.
Over at that marina right there. It's really bad. There's that boat ramp there.
Right.
That I haul out of every once in a while, and it's really bad there.
Okay.
I mean, Sarah and we have a pool skimmer right now that we use to literally manually clean out the harbor. We come back, we have it on our boat, we always have it out on our boat, so you might see us out there scooping up trash. And when we come back, if it's high tide and the winds are blowing, like you mentioned, one day I think we got 6 styrofoam cups. I usually always find at least a plastic bag with all the trash, so at least I have something to clean it up with. Eric can talk more about Van the Bag too if we want to go on that topic. But it's just crazy the amount of trash that ends up in that area, and I'm sure over here too. Now to mention about potentially getting one here, the nice thing about the C-Bin, it doesn't take up a lot of real estate. So it's something that if you really want to try to convince a marina to put it in their marina, it's not going to take up a dock space. That could be a good amount of cash flow.
It can be kind of tucked in anyway.
It can be tucked in somewhere where it'll be safe. It's pretty sturdy, but obviously if you have a lot of boat traffic and heavy big boats coming through, you want to make sure it's somewhere safe. Now that segues me into the other device that we're going to be testing out. So we want to try out 2 different types of skimmers, test them out for a year or so we can be the experts that folks come to and they say, hey, I saw these sea bins or these marine skimmers, I'd like to get one. What do you think suits my needs best? Now the marine skimmer is much larger. It actually looks a lot like a dumpster. It sits just below the surface of the water, again, fixed to the dock, so it stays stationary. The lids open up just like a dumpster. Cool thing is on the lid, you have a ton of real estate for advertising. So if you have a sponsor or if you want to do an educational plaque about it, how it works, or who funded it, it's a really cool thing to appeal to a business, mm-hmm. even if they don't own a marina themselves, maybe they could sponsor one and have their information on it. So that location, going back, the sea bin is going to be at Cripple Cove, at the marina that we live in, Lighthouse Marina. The marine skimmer, which is the much larger one, takes up a lot more real estate, is going to go at Maritime Gloucester. So they've offered to sponsor that one as well.
Wow, fantastic.
Oh, fantastic.
So really nice part of that is they're going to use a lot of the information taken from what we're collecting. Kids can see it being collected. Tourists can see it being collected. We can also study it and hopefully put together an educational program about what's ending up in our waters, why, and what we can do to prevent it.
Oh,
so yeah, so we thought that was a really great partnership with them, and they've really stepped up and had a lot of great things to offer. So obviously it takes up a lot more space, but it's a lot more sturdy. And to clean that one out, you simply take a pool skimmer. It all collects inside that dumpster. With both of these devices, there hasn't been any issues with bycatch or any fish getting injured or anything like that. The sea bin, they said after all their trial, they've never had a fish caught unless it was an already dead fish. They simply stay away when they sense the water flow. With the marine skimmer, they can swim in, and then they can just swim out if they choose. The trash stays right in there, and then just once a day, twice a day, however often you need to, lift up the lid, skim the trash out with the pool skimmer, and you're done.
So tell me about the kids. What do the kids do?
So we've been fundraising for this, kind of creative ways, fundraisers at Mile Marker, all different things. We had a great treetop yoga.
How far along are you? What is the goal, financial, the total goal, and how far, where are you now?
So each skimmer, sea bin costs $3,800. The with all inclusive, the marine skimmer cost just shy of $12,000. So I think it was $11,700 and change. Now we were approached, just to kind of segue into this, we were approached in our fundraising efforts by Plastic Pick It Up. I received an email, I received a phone call from Julie Hurley, who's a part of it. She actually knows me, she's a customer of our store, and she actually knows me through a friend I used to work with at the aquarium who lives here in Gloucester. And she taught marine biology at the high school for a while. So she connected us. She loved what we were doing. These awesome kids were already doing this Plastic Pick It Up program, which you guys will hear more about. And then she asked if we'd be willing to let them donate to us. So we were really excited about that. These guys came up with over $570 that they presented to us towards the cause, which got us about $800 shy of buying our first marine skimmer.
Wow.
So we actually at One Ocean just decided to go ahead and front the extra $800. We donate 5% of our
proceeds.
Very nice.
We at One Ocean donate 5% of all of our One Ocean apparel sales to, we had actually started donating to hopefully get our own marine skimmer, and then this whole Cape Ann Maritime partnership formed sort of alongside of that. So since we donate back anyway, we also have t-shirts available at One Ocean, One Love with the Camp Cape Ann Maritime Partnership logo on it. 100% of the proceeds go back to the cause. So
you guys have a website, right?
We do. It's oneoceanoneloveshop.com.
So people can get
there.
Yeah. Available there. Let me hear
and
if
then,
I want...
And then the information on the project, the initiative, is on the Seaside Sustainability website. So we have kind of all of that stuff.
www.seasidesustainability.org, is it?
It is, and then it's one of the initiatives you can find it. But although we haven't updated with these guys, we picked it up.
All right, which one of these kids wants to talk?
Atticus.
Pilar will.
Okay.
Who?
Atticus
Pilar.
And Pilar.
Come on over here, Pilar.
Okay.
You got. Feel free to jump in too.
Jump in too.
So tell me, from your perspective, why it was so important that you wanted to work and collect this money and donate it.
Well, I saw them, they were doing it too, and so, in school...
You talk about Atticus and Meadow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Them and their cousin and Frida,
yeah.
And our friends the Sapias.
Yeah.
And so, in school we're always talking about climate change, and at camp we were, and we had a giant talk about it. So when I heard they were doing it, I really wanted to too, because I really want to help prevent...
it's a really nice cause, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you said, let's do this, and what kind of when you donated that money, what kind of feeling did you have? Were you just like?
I was proud.
Really, you really ought to be. This is great. All you kids, you should really, really be proud of yourselves. This is you're making an impact in the you're making a difference, and you know it's other kids will see what you do, and it's just kind of a snowball effect, because you're setting a good example for other kids your age. Atticus, how about you? What was your favorite part of the whole thing?
Right when we were doing Eulani, it really felt good.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite part.
That's awesome.
It was also fun doing the lemonade stands towards the money.
Hanging out with your buddies, and that's always fun, right?
Yeah.
Kim cool. Smith took a video, and she put it on Good Morning Gloucester about all of us, them too, the... And we were all holding the money, handing it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was good.
Yeah, that was great.
That's
so
great.
How did they raise the money? How did you raise the money?
Lemonade stands.
That was all lemonade stands?
Lemonade
yes.
stands. It's delicious lemonade, too.
It's homemade fresh squeeze.
Did you bring any?
Well, thanks, guys, for what you guys did. Thanks for coming
thank
on the
you.
Podcast. Big round of applause for these guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, Eric, what's happening in your neck of the woods from your end? Because I saw you were in Miss Kim's pictures.
Yeah, so I represent Gloucester Clean City Commission, and we are somewhere in the final stages of proposing a plastic bag and polystyrene ban in the city. So we've now...
Okay, back up for 1 second. Because Melissa Cox, she wrote out a couple of days ago... She was very angry. She wrote out the results of the vote, and the vote for ban the bag, I thought, was the councilors voted to not push it forward.
It has another chance, right? Doesn't have another chance.
Correct.
So, okay, explain to me what's happening.
Went to the A&O, admissions A&O? And ordinances meeting, and their three councilors sit on that board. Sean Nolan. Sean Nolan, excuse me, and Mr. LeBlanc. And Mr. O'Hara, and so pretty much Sean said he'd like to do. He's all for support, and I believe at the moment, Steve LeBlanc said. I think if I could kind of sum up his thoughts at the moment, the way they were written, right there, they needed some help, and I think so. That was kind of on both of them, the plastic bag and polystyrene. They're two different ordinances,
mm-hmm.
and then then Mr. O'Hara believed yes, the way that both the ordinance had some issues, and so we're kind
the
of
way they were
process.
Written.
The way
they were
written.
So I don't really think they were. I don't think at that moment they said we were for or against.
They weren't ready. Okay.
We need some more massaging.
So. Right.
Okay.
So now you said that there's a vote come. So what is happening next?
Well, so we've now spoken. Seaside and my crew has now gone to 400 and about 50 businesses all over the city and dropped off a letter and more or less explaining what's going on. And we've invited them to give us some feedback on the website, our Facebook page, Ban the Bag Gloucester, and then also email us with any issues they had and invited that information. We've gotten very little feedback, actually, in a negative way. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback, although I think there's some people that have gotten some other feedback. And I think right now where it is it's supposed to go to vote on the 22nd, the evening on the 22nd, and I think what we're trying to do is kind of actually slow it down a little bit because we want to make sure
that
it goes in correctly.
Right.
And and it's so that's what we're trying to do.
So do you want a big turnout on the 22nd of
Well, if it's not on the docket, then no. But
okay.
If it is on the docket,
then
yeah,
yes.
We would.
Okay.
If there are people that would like to support this, us and.
Okay.
Most definitely. We
so
would
you,
love
why
it
don't you keep out. Us posted on that?
Okay.
Because we would love to promote that.
What
yeah.
website do you want people to go to get more information?
Well, so Seaside Sustainability has probably the most up-to-date information. It has the online petition. It has the two ordinances as they were written. Of course, those are in the process of being edited. And it has kind of just general information about the ordinance and the ban. It also has this business letter.
We put a link in there in the show notes.
And it's a perfect kind of marriage from Gloucester Clean City Commission and this initiative that
Camp.
We're working on. So because there is. I remember a couple of years ago we launched an underwater ROV off the off Maritime Gloucester's dock, and the images that were coming back, just the entire bed of the harbor is plastic sheeting, plastic bags, and styrofoam cups.
Wow.
Just tons.
Oh,
does
good.
Not surprise
do you
me.
Have the, do you have that video posted?
No.
Oh, we should see.
I don't even know if it became a video. At that moment, I was just grossed out and never thought that I was going to be in this many years ago. So.
All right. Well, there you go. Anything you guys want to add?
We're also on Facebook, too. So if people want to follow us on Facebook, they can donate through that. We also have a generosity page set up, too. So a lot of people have been donating through Facebook and donating directly at our fundraisers.
What's the link?
What's that?
Facebook.com/what?
Cape Ann Maritime Partnership.
Okay.
Can I just add, everybody should support One Ocean, One Love. If they want to see what those beautiful t-shirts look like that Jamie designed, they can just go back to the post because Ainsley's wearing one, and it has this great logo of a mermaid and a sea diver, an old-fashioned like diver on it.
Really
that's
cool.
It. That's the
logo. All there. I bought Kate a... I think it was a hoodie, like really soft,
yep.
almost like
yep.
raglan
yep.
Hoodie at the Mac fair there.
Yeah.
And
so,
she wears it like with an anchor. All their designs are awesome.
Well, Jamie's not tooting her own horn because she she designs everything.
Aren't they done with the block?
Yeah, I do linoleum block carving to do all the printing. I just started doing a little bit of screen printing for more detailed things like our Cape Ann Maritime Partnership logo.
Mm.
And everything's printed there, right?
Everything's printed out of our Gloucester location, so it's sort of our headquarters, home base. It's downstairs from the shop from where I live.
Which is the address?
So it's 47 R Parker Street. It's the Lighthouse Building. And then our main shop is in Rockport, Bearskin Neck, 6 Bearskin Neck.
Okay, one second. I didn't get the Facebook URL. What was it?
Cape Ann Maritime Partnership.
Okay. Okay, I'll put that in there.
Yeah, because on Facebook it only gives Rockport.
Yeah.
Yeah, Facebook doesn't allow you to add multiple addresses.
Your website does have
our website,
yes.
And we're on Google Maps on both locations.
Awesome. Very good. Well, thank you guys for coming in.
Thanks for coming.
I appreciate it. Thanks
for
all the work you guys are doing. And Catherine did some great photos with you guys at the Beauport Hotel for the Super Bowl. Oh, can you speak a little bit about, because you probably know more about the Super Bowl than anyone else, because that was at Beauport yesterday.
It was. So it was the end of the series. I don't know a ton about where they took place beforehand, but it's essentially four locations.
Yeah, I don't know where, but this was the fourth and final of all the races.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's sponsored by Barefoot Wines, and Beauport, of course, and it's stand-up paddleboard racing. There's different categories, different classifications, so anyone can do it. You can walk up that day with just a regular old paddleboard. You don't have to have a race board, and people just race.
Hence the barefoot print on the podium.
Yes.
I was trying to figure out where that came from.
It was a lot of fun, a lot of racing, a little bit of foot racing at the end, too. A lot of fun, a lot of kids doing it, too, and then afterwards they did an award ceremony and some food and some free barefoot wine. And then, of course, the winners got some barefoot bubbly and shook it up good and sprayed all the audience with it.
Awesome.
It was
awesome.
Fun and a little bit sticky.
Yeah. And there is a prize package. I think first
prizes.
Place got $750. There's a barefoot bubbly paddleboard. We donated some prizes, so there's a lot of good prizes as well.
Yeah.
Next year. I predict
big
things for this.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to blow up
year
after year.
It's going to continue happening. It was huge. There were people from all over that came to do this. And there were prizes. There were, dozens of prizes. So there was different. It wasn't just three, first, second, and third place. There were so many different categories.
Yeah.
I feel like almost everybody that was there won something,
cool.
to be honest.
That's cool. Sherry and Beauport, the Beauport Hospitality Group, has been so good for the city. And, the people that... I won't go down this negative path that I was going to go to. But they are so generous with their spaces. Like, if it comes down to the, just all kind of functions.
Yeah.
The paint the bowl, what do you call that? The
open door.
Open door.
Yeah.
Fundraisers. They donate so much of their time and space to the community.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
It's not just the. What about the buoy painting too? They donate
the Art Haven,
Newport Glasser, and stuff.
Yeah. And it's just one thing after another. It's such a great community asset. Assets to the community, I should say. So thanks for coming in, guys. We're just gonna pause it for a second. We'll be right back. That was a great segment.
Oh, I loved it.
That's a great segment.
Awesome group of people.
Kathy Day is with us as well, here to talk about the 7th Annual Gloucester Overdose Vigil. Kathy, can you speak to, you know, the I'm not even sure, but are you familiar with how this started and what the purpose is?
Absolutely. So thank you so much for having me on to be able to talk about this. It's an event that's very close to my heart. So it's our 7th annual vigil this year, and I've been part of it since we started 7 years ago. So it came about with a group of friends. We call ourselves community members who care, who have all lost different people in our lives, and recognize that when folks lose someone due to their substance use, you don't really have a way to grieve like other folks do. If somebody's passed because of old age or a car accident or a chronic illness, they're probably more likely to talk about it, or have some sort of ritual around.
Right, because someone, because like you
right.
that happens, and you're like,
you have many,
there's always an awkward conversation, right? Or no conversation. In most cases, probably no conversation.
So
right?
Awkward for the family that's lost someone, and definitely awkward for everyone else that doesn't really know how to approach it.
Right.
And so it's isolating and it's hard. And yes, you know, maybe your loved one died because of their substance use, maybe an opiate overdose, or just wear and tear on the body over the years. But there's no real way to discuss it, and you still feel like, even though you know it's not true, that maybe you could have done something more for them, or maybe you weren't there for them the way that you should have. And so when people talk about it, there's like this shame and guilt around it, when really we just want to remember the amazing people that are no longer here present in our lives. And so what the vigil is we say that we're there to kind of raise awareness and have a healing night. So the raise awareness piece is not necessarily about the terrible toll that the opioid epidemic is taking on all of our communities, because we hear about that all the time. But it's really about raising awareness that there's generations of parents and brothers and sisters and children that have lost their parents that are now, you know, trying to struggle and grieve these losses and don't really have a way to do it. So we started this 7 years ago. Tremendous community support from day one, and people genuinely want to be involved in it. So we do it down by the flagpole area on the boulevard right next to the cut bridge. It's a night of music, speakers, so folks who have lost loved ones that want to remember who they were. And then we make luminaries and we set them out. I actually save all of the luminary bags from all of the years, so I'll pull out all 440.
What does that mean? What's a luminary bag?
Go ahead.
So a luminary bag, it's like a white paper bag that we place glow sticks in and sand, and people put pictures on them, write messages, write people's names. So we've done them every year. So when you lose someone, their name doesn't often reappear unless you put in the effort to do it.
Yeah.
So this is a chance for people to come back every year. They visit the bags that they've made in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they see familiar faces. And it's not altogether like sad and horrible being there by any means. I think people sometimes are afraid to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we really hear good stories and, you know, create memories and talk about the people we've lost. So that's why I say it's a healing ritual. It's something people can do every year in their memory.
The Facebook page is Facebook.com/Gloucester Annual Overdose Vigil. If anybody wants to check it out for more information, it's the night is August 28th with a rain date of August 29th at 6:30. 6:30. You're making the it starts at 7, but it's 6:30 if you want to come and help make out luminaries.
Yeah, and can I just say, so we've got some amazing local musicians. So Alan Estes is playing this year, John Jerome, and also Brian King.
Wow.
And for the last
big
6 years, Sal Baglio, who's the founder of the Boston band The Stompers, has come up every year to play. He's unable to do it this year, but just, you know, you ask people and they go, okay.
Yeah.
You know, because it's hard to find someone that hasn't been touched by this, and people just want to be able to do something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is great stuff.
I want to send a positive note that there's right now in the news, opioid deaths from opioid has dropped 14% in eastern Massachusetts, including Middlesex and Essex counties. So I thought, you know, we must be in our area. I think we're doing things in a good way. All the, you know, the between the Angel program and
I bet you that Angel program has had an impact.
I think so too.
Because they can
increasing.
Go in and they don't have to worry about getting. So many of them probably want to get help. Yeah. And how could, without that program, how can you go to the, you know, and say, I need help, knowing that they're going to potentially arrest you.
Right. So it's an incredibly hard process for people to access treatment when they want it. So the fact that Gloucester and surrounding areas are doing some really innovative things has been tremendous. And I should say, you know, every year we have a lot of the folks that have been involved in these programs come and show up to the vigil. You know, and they've done it since day one because they care, and they're the advocates that are out there using their voice to represent us to help make changes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're appreciative of that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we have to really thank the Gloucester Police Department because I think they've stepped up really.
I agree. A lot of times they don't get the recognition that they deserve.
No.
Yes.
Another shout out. So I just want to say thank you to the Colton Buckley family. So they're a family from Peabody that lost their son a number of years ago. So they raise money in Colton's memory, and so they've made it part of their fundraising every year to help donate to the vigil for our, you know, flyers and banners and rental equipment and stuff, because it's something they can do in memory of their son and help provide other people with a healing place. So grateful.
Wonderful.
God bless them.
Yes.
God bless them. Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's you know, again, you said this isn't it's not a horrible thing that people come and this is a coming together and for a night of healing. This is a
ritual.
So yeah.
And so, if you don't know anyone personally that maybe has been lost, but you know someone that has lost someone, come out and just show your community support. Show people there that they're not alone and that they don't have to grieve this loss by themselves.
Yeah.
That they've got a community of people that care.
Thank you so much for coming in, Kathy.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. That was another great segment. We have tonight, I don't know if people, this is our, when this airs, it'll be too late, but I just want to acknowledge it, and I bet you they have, you can stream this if you go to NPR's website. Our good friend Hannah Kimberly, her book about Annie Smith-Peck came out, sold out at the bookstore, sold out everywhere. You can still get it on Amazon. I put up a link.
Okay.
But she, NPR, All Things Considered, is, I consider, their premier show, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, NPR is big,
right. Mm-hmm.
And this is like the top of NPR.
Yeah. Yes.
So she went in, she taped her interview 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's airing Sunday night at 5. Go to their website. I'm sure that you can find the link to it, to listen to it.
Yeah. Yes, just go to the, if you just go to the website, it's always right there.
It's, yeah, right. Just go to NPR.
And you should read the book, because I finished the book.
Yeah.
And the book is fantastic. It inspires you as a woman.
It's getting...
This woman is fantastic.
It is getting...
It's well written.
Unbelievable
it's,
reviews.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
And people were saying to me they have to read the book. Now, she's going to be the guest at...
Chronicle.
Speaker. No, she's going to be the guest speaker at the Women's Luncheon, the annual Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce Women's Luncheon in October.
Oh, wow.
She will be the guest speaker. She finalized it with Terry.
She's
so I got her in there to do that.
Awesome. Yes. Good job, Charlene. Charlene Delaney. So we think we got your issues figured out on how to post.
Yes. So actually, maybe I'll have some posts now. I have to tell you, though, that I have this big email list, this big constant contact list and all. So I sent out to, so people around the country have started listening to the podcast.
Oh, I love, I noticed a big bump in subscribers.
So they have been sending me emails.
Oh, yeah?
Telling me what to do about your nose and your breathing and your
sleep. The CPAP, yeah.
After they saw that one, and then they said they wish they knew who was talking each time.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't sometimes
can't discern
the
whose voice is who. Yeah. After a while, I'm sure they know Kim's voice. I'm sure they know my voice, but a lot of the guests probably get lost in the mix.
Yes.
And a lot of times, I am guilty of not introducing each particular person.
Right.
I get
but
caught
they,
up in the moment.
They were thinking that it's so exciting, these podcasts, and now they're really into them and they're listening to them.
I have to tell you, Kim, like our our listenership in the past year has exploded.
That's awesome.
It has it had crept along like a very slow pace for a long time,
right.
But I think our consistency has it's become part of people's you know, weekly rituals.
Rituals.
Yeah, so it's really nice.
Well, that's what these people said on the emails they sent me. They said, "Oh, we're going to be listening to this podcast every week."
I love it when I run into people on the street and they mention it. It's really nice. I told you about John Bell's wife at the coffee shop when she says, "Damn, that damn podcast! Like it comes out and John has to listen to the podcast."
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah,
that's great. Awesome. That's
I love hearing stories like that.
Wow.
So there's that. Where was I going? We talked about Hannah. Anybody go to the block party? You went to the block party.
I went to the block party. I got there about 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Did you go?
It was pretty
quiet.
Quiet on the street. From Jalapenos to Bank Gloucester was pretty quiet, that area. Down there was pretty active still when I was there.
Yeah.
We went to...
I think there was too many events last night because you had the illumination and the fireworks in Rockport, and I think that drew a lot of people there. Because from what I heard, everybody that was very busy over there.
Mm. I think it has to do with that, and I think it has to do with less participation by the restaurants. There's only three restaurants serving food outside now.
Well, do you know why? One restaurateur that I was speaking to said that they have to jump. They can't just get a single permit for all three events. They have to jump through all kinds of hoops for each and every event, and it's just too much.
Yeah.
And, you know, Charlene and I were talking about this for a few moments ago. I think it would benefit the city tremendously if there was somebody in the city government who was just handled the permitting for all these people who want to participate in things. Because if they made it super easy for them, then that would bring in more tax revenue. If you have tons more people, you know, attending these events.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. I could never understand when we were doing the block parties, I could never understand. Because there's no one more busy than restaurateurs.
Right, than a business
restaurant
owner
is like early morning to late at night
right.
to make them to go to four meetings. It's just insane
it's
to me.
Insane.
But now that, but then they also said that there's a big cost to it now. And the cost, when I was speaking to this a particular restaurant owner,
right.
said that by the time I get done with the cost,
it doesn't
then matter. I make a little bit of money, but it's a huge hassle to make a little bit of extra money. Like they took all the juice out of it.
Right.
So.
Well, I don't think the margins are that great for restaurants anyway right now with employment and the cost of food and everything. So I think it's harder to make money in the restaurant business. And then if you put all these extra things onto them, why would they want to do
it? We should be making it super, 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 super easy for folks to participate. Also, there was Illumination Night, but we didn't go until about 8:30 because we were at an engagement party. So we just saw, we came to the tail end. But I think with Illumination Night, which is so, so beautiful, in Rockport happening on the exact same night, that's another thing that would be great if somehow there could be a master schedule. And like you go like, okay, well, Rockport is having their Illumination Night, which is a huge thing that they do that once every summer. So maybe we could have our block party next Saturday night or, you know, whatever.
I guarantee you
there's,
that
there's so
something
many
next weekend.
Next weekend
there's
something, the
there's
festival by the sea.
It's our embarrassment of we are so fortunate that we have these problems.
We have so many things. Well, it's like this, the Vigil, I feel bad because the Vigil is the same night as the K. Ellis Memorial Scholarship.
Yeah, but that's kind of maybe a little bit of overlap, but there's
I know, but there's plenty of people that would go to both of these things that I know.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
It's so hard. You have to juggle around. Sometimes you're running from last night. I was running from one thing to another thing to another.
Isn't it a terrible problem to have?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's a terrible problem to have. We could live in some bedroom community where that any one of these events
right.
would be the highlight of their whole year.
Right.
Well, you know,
visitors come to
Gloucester and they talk to me in the chamber and they say, "What is this town? Do you have a party every day?"
That's
great
what,
reputation.
Literally, that's what it is. That's why.
I said, yes, we're a big party town. Like I said.
That's what we're blessed, I'm telling you. So there's that. The city reached out to me and they really wanted to get the word out that the marijuana in Gloucester meetings, they're going to have like a series of meetings with city officials, health officials. I'll read the flyer for you.
Okay.
Ward informational meetings with legal updates, law enforcement and health info. City leaders want your community feedback. How do you feel about marijuana in Gloucester? So Sunday, August 13th, which is today, is the first meeting at the Legion Hall. That must be over in by North Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
Ward 2 meeting is the 15th. Ward 1 meeting is August 16th. Ward 5 meeting is August 17th. And Ward 4-1 is August 21st.
And anybody from any ward can go to any ward meeting.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. If you can't make it for your own ward, you can go to.
So if you are interested in what is happening there, you have an opportunity to have your voice heard. There's that. Gloucester Rotary Pancake Breakfast is August 19th. The popular event takes place concurrently with the Gloucester Waterfront Festival, another festival next weekend. Is how you talked about.
Yeah.
Right.
Why you can't have the block party.
That's why you can't move everything around all the time. Which is sponsored by the Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce and is held in Stageport Park on Saturday and Sunday, August 19th to 20th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days. That's the Waterfront Festival.
Yeah.
Pancake breakfast.
Pancake breakfast. First thing,
August
you eat 19th. Your pancakes and then you go and
yeah.
do your shopping.
And you can see Howard Frisch. You can have Howard Frisch. He counts each blueberry to see how many blueberries. And I guarantee you, they don't use artificial blueberries in the blueberry pancakes at the pancake breakfast.
I'm sure
no.
they don't.
Yes.
I'm sure they don't.
So you got that going.
And hopefully they don't burn one side of your pancake.
What did that happen to you?
Yeah.
You have to have a conversation with Howard.
No, it was Rick.
Rick Dowsett?
Yeah. He said, oh, it's healthy.
Rick would have ate it.
It adds a little texture.
Rick would have ate it.
You need a little burnt.
Terry, can you talk? So Terry Weber is also with us. We're getting around to Terry. You are the PR person for the Beauport Hospitality Group. Is that right?
Sort of. I'm the director of marketing, but
director
PR is part of that. Yeah.
Director of marketing, and so now there's how many properties are kind of involved under your marketing reign in like for
there's four in Gloucester.
Yeah.
And then there's one now in Alston. It's our new restaurant, Rail Stop.
Yeah. And so, just yesterday you
Can I just say what are the four in Gloucester? Can you say what the four?
There's Seaport Grill. Beauport Cruise Line, Cruise Port Gloucester, and Beauport Hotel Gloucester.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when we spoke earlier about how much these venues give back to the city and how it's nice to have world-class facilities for people to come and take part in.
Wait, I have to say my mother and father-in-law are staying at the hotel the third week in September for a whole week.
Oh, there you go.
And they planned their whole vacation around when they could stay there for a whole week. Yeah, because you're so booked up that they could only stay like on like a weekend.
5-day block.
Yeah, right. So they're coming the third week in September and they're spending a whole week there and they are so excited.
Well, remind me of that before it comes so we can give them a bottle of champagne or something when they arrive.
There's something special. See? Value added right here.
Yes. That's nice. I didn't know they were coming.
I get a bagel with no butter on it. And you get the champagne.
You were lucky to get that, Joey.
I was appreciative. I'm
cheating. He just loves to tease.
I love to tease. So tell me about some of the events that's coming up. I want to mention the one that I am directly involved with, Lobster Fest.
Yes.
Every Wednesday, they blow out the lobsters for really cheap prices at Wednesdays at Seaport Grill.
Oh, like
that's every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
So you can get all the way from a single one at $12.95 all the way up to the 5-pounder. So
a 5-pounder?
Yeah.
Oh,
obviously, people are sharing that one. But,
but still, what fun. I wonder what a 5-pounder looks like on a plate. You know,
it looks amazing.
Is
it
really like a,
does.
You have to serve it on a platter, right?
You do. It comes out on a platter. And then it also comes with corn on the cob and coleslaw.
Do they make a big deal out of it when they bring it out?
They do.
They
and there's
show.
A lot of ooing and aahing when it goes by people.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that's going on at Seaport. One of the things that people should know about Seaport also is that we, like a month and a half, 2 months ago, we went through some renovations. So if anyone hasn't seen the new bar or any of the new things going on,
the decor
on,
is very tastefully done.
I thought it was beautiful before. I can't wait to see it. Oh,
it's really,
nice.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's like now it's, I feel like it's on par with the hotel.
Because
the hotel's over the top.
Right.
Beautiful,
very
timeless,
right.
And everything. And I feel like,
very
do they use the same people?
Yes.
But that, well, that speak, yeah, that would
yeah.
make sense.
Yeah.
My clients who have a hotel in Cambridge, they just came for lunch to like do hotels checking out, and they had a wonderful time.
Good.
Recon.
Yeah.
Recon.
Actually, I remember you were there on one of the opening nights of the hotel. I remember you being there.
Yes,
and I think it was in the first week you were
yes.
there. You did a great post. Then.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
And we get so many good comments. We get tons of hotel visitors come into the chamber and
good.
That are staying at the hotel or eating at the hotel, or even the wedding people all come in mm-hmm. when they book their wedding. Then they come in to get guides and maps.
Good.
For their to send out to their guests, and they all have so many wonderful things to say about the hotel.
Good.
We've had a lot of fun times at the hotel. The Novena girls, we go there, drink.
what are some of the other events that are happening there?
Actually,
I want to mention the other thing is the cruise ship. Seems that like it goes by here. They do harbor tours.
Oh, you must
tours.
See it go by constantly.
It comes
yeah.
by
yeah.
constantly. It's very well attended.
There's several cruises every week, so it goes all the way from lobster lunch cruises to sunset dinner cruises. And a lot of people don't realize if they're new and they haven't been on it yet. Every cruise comes with some kind of meal that's usually a buffet. So you can do the lobster lunch one. You can do a prime rib cruise. It's all kinds of things that you can enjoy on there. One special cruise that we just added, people should know about just because it's not on the regular schedule at the second, is August 30th, we added North Shore Acapella Cruise. It's a dinner cruise. It also comes
oh,
with prime rib.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think I'm going on it because I think a couple of the women want
oh,
to
I
go.
Think you posted about it. I think
yes.
you shared that. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, I see the post that you put up with them,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh. But you know, there's something for everyone
yes,
in this town.
Yeah, yes.
Like it might not be my thing, but like some older, my mother, or like Charlene, they just love
these old women. They love
my mother
no.
or Charlene might like this.
No, but like really, like we were talking about it earlier. They like
yes, it's an older crowd that comes to North Shore Acapella. I mean, it's fun for any age, but I would say since they sing songs that are all the way from the '50s forward.
Yes,
you know, so you're gonna hear some of the old classics, and
yeah.
they're just superb.
And they're really,
I think.
Really good.
Yeah, it's just a really good time. People get up and dance, and it's great. Like you said, it's if you have an older person in your life, they can go dance to the songs that they really like that are hard to find in
yeah.
public. So
yeah.
I think it's a great
well,
thing.
Well, they had
yeah.
you had the 2-for-1 cruise.
We did.
And we went on that. A lot of some of the women and us, we got together and we all went. We had so much fun.
Yeah.
Dancing, everything. It was a
that's
great
that's another thing people do
DJ
on the boat. They do
night.
Girls' night out that night.
Yes,
what's
that's
two,
what it
what
was.
What was 2-for-1?
Night.
What is that?
It's like you get 2 tickets for the price of 1.
So,
so
they run specials. If they don't have a lot of tickets.
So you
got to
get one
them.
Of your friends. So what we did is.
You whack it up.
Every 2 we joined up and got the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And we had so much fun. It
we
was
got
fun.
A lot of great feedback on that cruise. So.
Yeah.
Run this every.
Go.
Another thing that people don't realize about the cruise ship is that they don't have to rent the entire boat to have a private party. They can rent a deck. They can also just go on a public cruise with their group and ask for a few tables to be put together. So say you're celebrating a birthday party and you have 20 people in your party. to say I have a party of 20, would like to reserve one of the corners of one of the decks so we can all sit together and have our party. And then you can bring your own cake if you want to, or you can have our cake on the boat, or you can bring your own cake. So a lot
That's
of people
great.
Say, well, I don't want to go on the boat. I can't rent a whole boat. You don't have
yeah,
to.
Right.
Rent a deck, rent a space, you know,
right. That's
be
tremendous.
In your own corner.
Yeah.
My
That's
stepdaughter
you know
did
that.
Celebrate her 21st birthday party as part of a public cruise. We just had our own little corner.
Perfect.
It was excellent. Yeah.
Great to know that.
That is value added
yeah.
podcast knowledge.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Fantastic. Breaking news here.
Yeah, so then there's the hotel, of course. Lots of things are always...
So tell me about the hotel, the occupancy. How has it been this summer?
This summer has been awesome. And last year we were slammed because it was our opening summer. A lot of interest. This year is even better. So
wow.
Wow, tremendous.
And it's we don't have as much of the newness in the opening and all that stuff going on and all the random people kind of coming in just to tour. We have the people who are there actually going to stay. And so
yeah.
it's been a great summer so far.
Wow.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. And last holidays, we were worried about winter business. We had great business through the holidays. Definitely dipped a little bit and through January through April, but it was so much better than we thought.
That's great.
And,
so you're above projections.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, awesome.
Absolutely.
Great.
And we just
expect
it to get better and better as people stop thinking of Gloucester as just a summer destination. It can be year-round destination.
Well,
so.
You know what we really need to, because they were doing this for a while, is promoting winter birding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's just such a, it's just such a gift that we have around here. You can go practically any month, but February is a really, really fantastic month for wildlife because the trees are bare. It's either snow or ice covered, so you can really see the creatures that come here from.
Right.
And it's migratory.
Yes.
It's like a big time.
Yes.
You see birds that you know in
right.
February that.
Right, like the best. That's one of the best months
yeah.
for seeing birds and things. So, anyways, I would think a lot of people would want to stay at the hotel if there was some kind of like bird package. I don't know.
Definitely.
Could advertise it through Mass Audubon or. Even if they didn't see any, 20 species of rare birds, it would still be beautiful, and they'd still have a wonderful time going for a beautiful walk through Halibut Point in the winter
right.
time.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
It would still be
well, I
beautiful.
Think that's a lot of what we have to do is think outside the box to draw people here in that January, February, March.
Yeah, not just the shoulder. Well, it used to be we tried to fill in the shoulder seasons, and we didn't even consider the winter. Now the shoulder seasons are getting are pretty filled in a little bit, and now we're focusing on the winter. I mean, it's just growing leaps and bounds.
It's growing, yeah. Everything is growing.
Fantastic. Anything else to add, Terry?
Just one quick note about the art show on August 22nd. It's right around the corner, and we are putting our call out to all artists who happen to be painters, so they can be part of an art show 5:30 to 8:30. And there's no fee to get involved. All the transactions would happen directly between the artist and the customer, so the hotel's not taking any portion of that.
Any portion? Wow.
So the artist will be displayed in the lobby and will go into the grand ballroom if we have enough artists and people can sell their art right there in the hotel.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Another gift.
What
yeah.
about,
Another
is
gift.
It just art or photographers too?
Not
right now it's just for people who do paintings, but
mm-hmm.
in the future we'll consider other types of art shows. It could be any kind of
It could be
art.
A photography show.
Right.
Or
yeah.
So for us one, so we'll just kind of figure
yeah.
it out as we go. But
yeah. Awesome.
That's because we have a lot of good photographers.
No, I saw your angle there.
There's a couple of good photographers in this room.
Kim and Bridget probably at the top of our.
Yes.
Actually, Nicole in her own right is a tremendous photographer as well.
Yeah,
we have a lot of. Marty. Am I not going to mention Marty?
Yes,
Marty,
right?
Am I not going to mention?
Wow, there's a whole list of photographers.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
I got a phone call from someone.
I
got a phone call from someone that saw my photos at the Seaport Grill last year.
Yeah. Oh,
and the hostess from Seaport forwarded the number from to me just yesterday.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yes, and I think your photos in Tono are marvelous.
Yeah. Thank you. So there's that. Charlene, you brought it to our attention. I'd seen these stickers around town, but I didn't know the person that was behind them. These, what does she call it? Right here. Custom stickers by Carol. And she has a Viva San Pedro sticker, Magnolia sticker, Rockport sticker, Magnolia, another one for Magnolia, the Fort, Rocky Neck one, and Gloucester one. There's a long list of places. I'm not going to read them all off because there's so many places you can see it. You can get them.
But you can get them at the Beauport Hotel, too.
Well, you can get them at the Beauport Hotel. So we'll mention that. You can get them at... All right, I'll go through the list now. you go to Cracker Jack's in Rockport. You can go to... Oh, my God. Rocky Neck Accommodations, Rocky Neck Cultural Center, Cafe Cecilia, Building Center, Beauport Hotel, Santa City, Magnolia and Rockport Gift Shops, County Store, Bearskin Neck, Changing Tides, Ace Hardware, Gloucester, Smith Hardware in Rockport, Mother's Kitchen. What's Mother's Kitchen?
It's not Mom's Kitchen. It's the Tucker's Place.
Oh, Tucker's Place. Yeah. Old Fort Square Cafe.
Yeah.
And the Gloucester House.
Yeah.
So you get them just about. And these are some of the iconic stickers that you have definitely seen around town.
Like the Rocky Neck sticker, right?
Yeah, the Rocky Neck one with the easel.
Yeah.
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 It's very
and a lot
iconic.
Of people like to have those.
Yeah.
There's no East Gloucester one, though.
Well, now you say that, and she'll make an East Gloucester one.
I would like an East Gloucester one, and I will purchase one.
You know what she could do? She could do the little marina there, the little lighthouse marina.
Yes.
That would be sweet. That would be sweet representation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what else could
be
East Gloucester?
I would think Rocky Neck.
Well, they have
or
Rocky
Niles
Neck
Beach. Or
Niles. Good Harbor is not. That's
yeah.
Their
I think of Rocky Neck as the heart of East Gloucester.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just me. I love it down there. But anyway, Carol Creekus. Oh, there's an I in there. I didn't know that.
That view from Smith's Cove looking towards the marine railways.
Yeah.
How would that be? Like, you could have the shape of the...
Looking towards the East Gloucester or towards the...
Towards Rocky Neck, right?
Oh, from...
Smith's Cove.
Yeah.
And then you could have...
Beacon Marine, the Rocky Neck Art Association.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
And the... Entrance to Smith's Cove. Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay, we planned it for you, Carol.
There you go, Carol. Get to it. But they're pretty simple, so she doesn't put a ton of detail.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not like a... but we're going to put a link for her. www.sandtocitystyle.com and the show notes.
Who hasn't seen that Gloucester one?
Who hasn't seen that Gloucester one? Who hasn't seen that Rocky
Neck
one?
Right. St. Peter's, I was giving everybody those Viva St. Peter ones.
You giving them? What, does she charge for them or does she give them one?
She charges for them, but I had some samples, so I gave one to your sister, and I think your nephew has it on his vehicle.
Very nice, very nice. There you go. Kim, can we get a winged creature
update?
Everybody looks forward to this. So.
Are you sure about that?
Well, I know that, you know what, after the poll, I am certain there are many people that look forward to your winged creature updates.
Okay. Well, I wanted to say that still the monarchs are continuing to pour in, so we're having them, they're all over fields, meadows, we have caterpillars, eggs, chrysalises, and adults flying around everybody's gardens. And I did a talk in Peabody, and they're seeing monarchs everywhere in Peabody. I mean, it's not just Gloucester and Cape Ann, it's everywhere. We're also having the Painted Lady eruption is continuing. We still have a good number of Painted Ladies. I haven't seen any sight of our little chick, but I have the Plover family that I film over in on Coffins Beach, Wingersheek Beach. The mom and the dad are still there, so that's sweet to see them. And then a whole bunch of other beautiful species. Lots of Bonaparte's gulls, laughing gulls.
Yeah, I've been seeing pictures of them. Is that just recently that they've been showing up?
The Bonaparte's gulls? Well, this is their time. Every year at around this time, we see a group of them. They're beautiful gulls. They have they're small. They almost look like terns. They have black heads, but their black heads are fading in all different stages, so eventually the black feathers, they'll molt and lose the black feathers, and they'll just be a little white head with a little black dot on their cheek.
Do they have orange beaks?
No, the ones with the orange beaks are that you're seeing are common terns.
Okay.
And they're the awesome ones that are flying along and suddenly you'll see a bird dive straight down. That's a common tern. And they're very actively feeding their fledglings right now. So that's very beautiful to see and film. And also, they're very, very protective of their fledglings. So when I get a little too close to a common tern fledgling, I have this I've captured this awesome footage of a common tern adult coming like right to me like this.
Wow.
And then just grazing the top of my head like that.
Yeah.
So I've got really cool footage of that.
Awesome.
And then what else did I see? Oh, ruddy turnstones. Your favorite.
My favorite. Naples, Florida.
Right.
They made their way home.
Well, no, because they are so awesome. They breed so far north in the Arctic tundra and more towards the Pacific, more towards the northwest. And then they are migrating kind of diagonally across. But they also winter over every coastline in the whole Arctic. So they're in Europe and Asia as well. But they're the beautiful birds that look like calico cats. They have a pretty harlequin pattern of white, black.
Very similar kind of movement patterns as a plovers.
Well, you know what? They used to be, that's interesting that you said that, because they used to be in the categorized in the plover family.
No longer?
No longer. Now they're more in the sandpiper family.
Shorebirds.
Yeah, shorebirds. But they're beautiful. And they have this really awesome way of foraging where they have a wedge-shaped bill, and they'll actually like go under a clump of seaweed or sand and fling it up. So I have some great—I haven't posted them yet, but I have some really fun photos of them like flinging things in the air while they're hunting for crustaceans and stuff. Yeah.
Really cool.
Cam, have you been studying birds and butterflies all your life, or is this more of a recent?
So when I was a child, I really loved just birds and butterflies. I loved looking at them. I never thought of it as something. I wanted to be an artist, so and then it all kind of came together in a way. And my grandmother was very influential because she was always giving me books on birds and butterflies and art books as well. So but then when I wrote my book on garden design, I was very, very interested in fragrant plants, and fragrant plants just naturally bring a lot of butterflies and pollinators into your garden. And so then that's where I got really passionate about it, because I just thought, wow, well, I planted this and I got this, what more can I plant, you know, because I just wanted more and more and more. And so
can I do a shout out to the people, to the woman and the man that I purchased my house from, that Kate and I purchased our house from, I should say.
I know what you're going to say, and I think
they did a beautiful job. Fucking brilliant
gardeners. Yeah.
Because look, when we bought this piece of property, it's more, I look at it and I'm saying, I don't know how we're going to maintain this.
Right.
And then Kim came over, and Hannah Kimberly came over,
and
the recurring theme is that they were all perennials,
which
don't require a ton of care or whatever.
And we said,
just look at what happens. But I just want to say something. Every week,
something
colorful goes away, and in its place, two things go, and it's always interesting outside. I never had any appreciation for this stuff.
Right.
This woman,
yeah.
Louise Fada, her name is.
She did a beautiful job.
Absolutely brilliant. Because I mean, over the decades that she lived there, this couldn't have happened overnight.
No.
You know.
No.
And they bought this from a guy that was just a guy that was a developer. He didn't have the vision, and Jesus, I look out there and I say, we are so lucky. We're so lucky. I mean, you couldn't pay for this kind of, like, if you wanted to have this type of mature plantings everywhere that we have them, and these shrubs and this, that, and the other thing. It's gonna be like an $80,000 job.
It's a wonderful combination of, you have flowering and fruiting trees, you have shrubs that are flowering at different stages, and then you have many varieties of perennials.
And when I looked at it, Kate was trying to, she was thinking, oh, I'll trim, you know, yeah. I'll trim the hydrangeas. And I said, well, you know, let's not do any more of that because those are the buds for this year's bloom. So yeah. I think it's really important to tell anybody who moves into a new house to just wait a year,
yeah.
especially if there's mature plantings on the property because
yeah.
you will, if somebody, you know, like your, did you say her name was Louise?
Yeah.
Like your Louise, you know, they really thought about, I could tell when I went there, you could tell that they really thought about what they were doing
yeah.
and where things were sited and located, so.
Blessed.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah, and I can tell you that I do 5 really estate gardens. I take care of it a week, and I can tell you it costs a lot of money to do that.
Yeah.
And
So
a lot of work.
Your husband Tom, you're going to go to the media opening.
Right, the press opening is today at the Gloucester stage.
So we
can
look forward to a review
yes.
from Tom,
yeah.
our resident play
review
guy.
Right, he's sorry we didn't do it last week. He was or last month. He was. We both were sad we missed the Rainmaker because it was a great play. You know, I knew it was a great play, and but he's. We're going today, and
Out of the mouths of babes.
If he doesn't write it tonight, he'll have it for me tomorrow.
Listen, I'm no pressure. I don't mean to put pressure on
him. No, but he's just like, that's who he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, with writing, like, you know. I mean, he's a guy who writes, you know, 50 books a year, so.
Right, Jesus.
So,
it opened August 11th. It's running through when?
September
2nd?
I think it's September 2nd.
And this is a Israel Horowitz
yes.
play.
Yes, out of the mouths of babes.
Out of the mouths.
And how he wrote it for specific, I read somewhere, maybe it was the Globe or the Daily Times, that he doesn't typically write a play with actors or actresses in mind, and he did with this play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
And they're the actual actors that are
yeah,
in the play.
Yes.
Wow.
And he wanted to, you know the play that he wrote about the old lady in Paris? I forget what the name of that one was. But anyways, he wanted to write kind of a follow-up to that, which is both plays sort of examine the French meaning of love and versus how Americans are more, you know, it's just the dichotomy there of
wow.
the two. So, anyways,
cool. I'm looking forward to Tom's
yeah.
review.
Yeah.
And are we going to have them in next week? Do we have
yes.
a confirmation
yes.
of that?
Yes, we do.
The cast?
Yes, we do.
And Israel is, they're always great
yes.
guests. They're
yes.
always fun.
Yes,
oh,
we
okay.
love them.
We
get their rehearsals up in the third floor of the chamber.
Oh, really? Is that where they rehearse?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. The Anisquam Village Singing in the Rain. Just about everybody I know went, and everybody had rave reviews for this. Everybody.
It was awesome. It was
I hear more people saying this was incredible than any of the ones in the past.
You know what? We say that every year. The cast, they do a phenomenal job casting. This is really extra fun, I think, because it's the three main leads are young people in the community.
Yeah.
Both all theater majors going, you know,
going back to
right,
their roots.
Right. Well, no, they're going on to college. So, like, one is going to Emerson. Two are Pingree graduates. One's a Rockport High graduate, and
wow.
they're only 17 and 18 year olds.
Wow.
So they're playing the part that like a 25 or 30 year old man might play, but. Nonetheless, they all have really good acting and singing and dancing chops, so it's really fun. And also, they've cast it hugely so that there are so many kids on the
yeah.
stage. Yeah.
yeah,
Terry is a master of that because you know how small that theater
yeah.
is. That
mm-hmm.
the stage is teeny, teeny, tiny.
Yeah.
When they
got good weather for it too because
yeah.
that
yeah.
room
yeah.
doesn't necessarily have air conditioning.
It doesn't. It doesn't. We do. They do have air conditioning.
Oh, do they?
Yes. When I ran it for 13 years, and we had no air conditioning.
I can't imagine.
I think we got air conditioning the last year of it.
I can't imagine.
And I didn't mind personally, but it was difficult for older people.
Some of them heavy costumes.
Yeah,
forget about it.
It was very difficult for older people, and then when we did Music Man, we had 110 people in the cast.
And I told Terry, I'm quitting if you don't cut it down to a more reasonable size. It was double cast and 110 people on that stage and backstage.
Oh.
But I think this year they were kind of close to 110.
Wow.
It was an incredible, it's just an incredible group.
I want to do a shout out to FIA Women's Center. She's doing a Mommy and Me fitness class starting Wednesday, August 23rd. It'll be a fun Mommy and Me fitness class for moms with children 0 to 3 years old. The class will be every Wednesday morning, 9 to 10 a.m. Mommy and Me fitness will feature fun, kid-friendly music and exercises that include the kids and give mom a great workout.
If that can be in the show notes, I'll tell Jessica.
It's in the show notes, and there's a link to it.
Oh, I'll tell Jessica about it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Tell Jessica about it.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap up with this. Charlene, can you talk about, there's still tickets available for KLS, right?
Yes, there's still tickets available, and I'm still looking for donations for the raffle. So if anybody out there wants to donate to the raffle, they just got to get in touch with me, and
I'll donate a book. I have one
good
in my car I can give
good
you right now.
Good.
I donated 10 t-shirts. I gave
yeah
them to Tom last
you
week.
You gave them to Tom. Tom came by and picked them up. That
yeah
was good because
yeah
I was stressed out going to pick up
yeah
with all the jobs I do.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, but that event is August 28th.
August 28th.
Yeah.
And you can sail on the Lannan of the Ardell. Or the Adventure this year is sailing with us also, and the Seven Seas Whale Watch if you don't want to sail on. Some people don't like to sail on the schooners because they want to be on a more stable environment.
Yeah.
So we have Seven Seas going out too.
You know what would be really fun for them to coordinate is like a photo moment so we could you know, if they told us if you donate, then we're going to tell you where we're going to all be lined up together. Like, wouldn't it be beautiful if they were, like, all lined up?
Well,
like
we tried, last year we tried to all be out in the harbor at the same time in one area. And there's lots of photographers that go on it
yeah
and take pictures. That
there's always great for photographic
yeah
opportunities.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're standing on land and you see all three together, that makes a beautiful iconic
well
photo
that night we will all be out in the harbor and we come down the front first.
Do you come down all together? Do you
pretty
much
all
together?
Yeah.
Pretty
I
much they
so
all kind of come in the front.
I would
together
think that you'd be able to get the shot.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And it's I think we're leaving the dock like at 5:30.
So
I think.
I'll put a link in the show notes to the flyer.
And then the other thing is that on Thursday night, the Cape Ann Chamber of Commerce Business Women outing, and there's still seats on the Adventure for that.
Okay.
I think we've sold 47 seats on that now, so we still have seats. I'm going to be the docent on that night on Thursday.
Explain for the people what a docent is.
Docent is the person that gives you the history of the boat,
the vessel,
tells you everything, answers all the questions that you have.
There you go. Like a tour, almost like a tour operator for a schooner.
Yes,
right?
A schooner tour operator, I guess you call it.
There you go. So there you go. And we should mention, because in case we didn't mention it before, the K. Ellis Memorial Scholarship Fund is what this is about.
Yes.
And this year they gave, $3,000?
We gave three scholarships, $3,000 each to Gloucester High School students that were going to be in the tourism and hospitality business.
That's
$9,000.
That's a lot of cheddar.
This year we want to give a whole bunch more. That's why we want to have a big raffle and sell out our tickets because there's 60 seats on Adventure. There's 100 seats on the Seven Seas. There's 35 seats on the Lannan and 35 seats on the Ardell.
There you go.
So we want to sell it out.
All right, let's put a big push.
Yes.
All right. That's your job. You have posting abilities now. So use it. All right. You want to sell it out? Use your posting abilities. All right. 12:30. That's
yes
your slot.
We want to sell it out.
All right.
And we want people to come and do it and have a fun night because last year was the first,
yep,
and it was really a fun night. There was a lot of emotion last year because That was the first year since Kay died.
And, yeah.
But, you know,
great
we all
coast.
Love Kay. Kay was a wonderful person, and she did a lot for tourism.
She absolutely
in
did.
In this town, and she made the land, and look what she made the land and everything it is.
Yep. All right. Well, there you go, guys. GloucesterCast 237 is in the books. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Great cast. Good, a lot of information today.
Very
killing
awesome.
It.
Thank
killing
you, Joey.
It.
Thank you.